This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Well, hello and welcome to The Third Age with the Doctor and the Man from Hollywood. The Doctor is me, Dr. Peter Brill, and the Man from Hollywood is David Devon. On this show, we turn the myths of aging upside down, we sort out the scientific and the trendy, the medical and the cultural, and we tell you everything you need to know about living in the Third Age. Remember, we guarantee if you listen to us, you will never grow old.
And I'm Marissa Scobasi, and I'm sitting in for David Devon, the man from Hollywood, who apparently is on vacation. And the third age usually starts somewhere around age 45 or 50. It's a time when you start to feel a strong desire for deeper meaning and fulfillment in your life. Your first age is childhood. Your second age is building career and family. And the third age is a major change or transition to a whole new set of problems, values, opportunities, and gratifications. So, join us as fellow explorers in this journey to discover what brings passion, purpose, and joy into this uncharted time of life. And the support for our program is growing. These are the people who believe in our mission.
Well, something is terribly wrong. The majority of Americans want to die at home surrounded by their families and friends. But most end up dying in a hospital or a nursing home cared for by strangers. Half Americans die in pain that could be treated. Sick people come to fear losing their dignity or burdening their families more than they fear death. And this is happening in a country that is meant to prize the rights of individuals and champion the respect for personal wishes. What can be done? Well, today's guest, Paul Malley, president of Aging with Dignity, is doing something about it, and so can you. Marissa, you scheduled this show.
I did.
Why did you schedule this show?
I thought it was an interesting thing that we should talk about because usually I think personally it's hard to really talk about the end of your life or preparing and planning for what will come in the future when you don't really want to think about that aspect because it's not something that's happy or, you know, it's kind of a sad topic. But the way that Aging with Dignity presented itself was more in a positive way of trying to show that you can respect yourself and those who are around you because those who you're going to leave behind are going to suffer the most. And I think that's the most important because they're going to be, when you aren't unable to take care of yourself, they're the ones that will, through this program, will help you. That it will take less of a responsibility on them, and I think it will ease the pain of the suffering.
For those of you who don't know, Marissa Scobasi is our assistant producer. She's the one who schedules the shows, contacts the guests, gets all the information, right?
Yes, that's
been
correct.
Your job.
My job.
And so let me ask you this, Marissa. You have parents.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're one day going to be faced with having to carry out their wishes?
Well, hopefully not too soon, but probably, maybe, depending on their how well they're healthy and things like that.
You think they
that.
May live forever?
Yes, I hope so.
When you're young, you sure hope that, don't you?
Yeah. But well, it probably is a very good probability that I will have to face some of these challenges and up ahead.
So maybe there's something for you to learn. Marissa is in her kind of between her first and her second age,
yeah.
Right? Just halfway in between here.
Soon to be graduating.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit. The program's going to be obviously on the topic we talked about, but I want to just talk again about what I'm beginning to understand from people in this stage of life. I talk to so many, many people. I communicate with so many, many people. You know, when we start out this stage of life and we're looking for a whole different level of gratification from a different place than we were before. We, you know, money and materialism only take us so far in life. I've asked people, for example, the following question, and you might, listeners, want to answer this question. What objects that you have bought or been given have given you enduring pleasure or happiness? How many can you count? How many objects, literal objects, can you count? And yet this society, if you think about it, most people say very few, less than a handful. And yet we are constantly acquiring and pursuing material wealth and material objects, shopping. I mean, I'm always amazed during the holidays at these scenes of these people lined up at 5 a.m. waiting to rush into, and that 40% of all purchases occur in this season. And I just want to ask us the question, when finally we begin to break through with that, and we begin to see that maybe the relationships with each other, maybe our relationships with our parents, our children, our friends, our neighbors, the people we work with, those things really matter to your happiness. And what really matters to your happiness is what you can contribute to the world and to other people, how you can find something that serves your purpose in life. I mean, do you have a sense of purpose? I talk to a lot of people. Less than one in three have any sense of purpose to their life, and yet it's key to making them happy. And do you believe that it's possible to have a life that's filled with joy? I ask you to stop and ask yourself that question. How many of you believe that it's a really true possible goal? Or is it just one of these things that people put out, you know, and they say, well, you know, the best you can do is kind of just not hurt a lot. The best you can do is if you have a life and you're 60 years of age and or 65 or 70 and you're not in a lot of pain, your health is okay, and your days kind of stretch one into the next, and that's kind of the best it can be. I just reach out with you and I say to you, please reconsider. This is the most precious gift you could receive. It's called life. And to try to draw from it as much joy as is possible. And you can learn to draw a tremendous amount of joy from it. Anyway, we work with that in the Third Age Foundation. We don't take any money in terms of, Dave and I take no salary from it. We do charge for our workshops. 969-9794, or you can look us up on www.thirdagefoundation.com. Yes. So, what do you think?
I think that's a good message. I don't know. You always want to... I think the relationships that you have outweigh any material monetary things that you possess.
Certainly over a lifetime they do, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they change. I mean, it's amazing when you get to be my age how few of the people that you knew when you were in grammar school, high school, junior high school, are still in your life. But nonetheless, the hour-to-hour feelings that you have with people around you matter enormously.
In lieu of a news story here, Peter, I just want to mention I heard a news story on this station.
This is Jaron Piltz, engineer.
And about those people who perceive growing older as something positive tend to live up to 7 years longer is what I heard.
Absolutely.
And I just, that what you were talking about just made me think that, just keeping that positive attitude and truly being happy. So
it's been studied over and over. If you approach the aging process with a positive attitude, it totally changes everything.
Yeah, makes you want to be worth or want to live for something.
Our guest today is Paul Malley. He is the president of Aging with Dignity, a national nonprofit organization based in Tallahassee, Florida. More than 8 million Americans have used Aging with Dignity's 5-Wish document to plan in advance for a serious illness. Today's 5 Wishes is distributed by 10,000 organizations, including physicians, attorneys, hospitals, hospices, employers, and places of worship. Paul Malley and the work of the Aging with Dignity have been featured in national media, including, are you ready for this list? Hold tight. CBS, NBC, ABC Evening News, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, Today Show. He should run for president. Good Morning America, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Newsweek, Time, and Consumer Reports. Now, why... that's the first question I got to ask you. Well, first of all, welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks. It's good to be with you.
Now, why Consumer Reports?
Why Consumer Reports? They didn't want to announce my presidential bid, I guess.
There you go.
Consumer Reports, well, they're supposed to tell people how to make good decisions, right? So they featured a story about five wishes and saying, you know, as their audience thinks about how to make prudent choices and make good decisions for their family, that that these are important things to think about, how you would want to be cared for if you or someone you love gets sick.
That's great. So what is Five Wishes?
Five Wishes is a simple and easy-to-use document that's legally valid in most states, including California. It lets you and your family make decisions about what you would want, what's important to you if you get sick and you're not able to speak for yourself. It lets you make decisions about who would be your voice if you're not able to make your own medical decisions, and to give them some guidance on how you'd want those decisions to be made, whether we're talking about life support treatment that you'd want or not want, right down to personal comfort care measures, like what makes you feel comfortable, where you'd like to be, down to what kind of music you'd like to have played, little things like that that are very important.
So this is primarily when you're dying?
Well, it comes into play if you're very sick and you're not able to speak for yourself. But it's something that all of us should think about. I heard you talking earlier and asking Marissa about whether or not she thought this is something that she could talk about with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it is, because this is really something that everyone, all adults, everyone 18 and over, should think about what we would want to have happen in case we're sick, in case we're in an accident, anything happens that we're not able to make our own medical decisions. Who would we want to make those decisions for us? And then what kind of guidance can we give to them to make sure that they're not grasping at straws and having family disagreements about what we would have wanted, when right now today we can make those decisions and give that gift to our family?
Yeah, I mean, for example, when my father died, he was 89, and you know, he had end-stage heart disease with strokes and all kinds of things, and we talked to him, and he really wanted a morphine drip at the end. You know, I don't know whether it was legal or illegal, but essentially they gave him enough morphine slowly where, you know, he went to sleep. And later, my sister got her nose all out of joint, although she was in the room when we were talking about it. And some kind of document that clearly expressed his wishes certainly would have helped, I would think.
Sure, and we talk about pain management and five wishes. You know, when people are asked, it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in or really how old you are, when people are asked, what would be important to you if you were sick and near the end of life, the most common answers are, I want to be with my family, I want to be at home, I want my spiritual needs to be addressed, I don't want to be in pain. And one of the questions in Five Wishes asks you to think about that, because it's certainly fine to say, I don't want to be in pain, but it's important to be able to relate that to your family and to your doctors. You know, it makes me think of one situation that I heard about when a husband and wife were filling this document out, and the husband said, well, you know, one of the most important things to me is to be awake and conscious and aware and able to communicate with the family for as long as I can. And I'd be willing to be in some pain if it means that I'm still communicating with the family. And his wife looked at him and she said, are you nuts? If it hasn't been said by then, it's not going to get said. Give me whatever you got to give me. I don't want to be in pain. And they kind of looked at each other and had a little laugh and a chuckle about it. But then they realized if they hadn't had this conversation, they wouldn't have realized that about one another.
Absolutely.
No, and, you know, I think our automatic reaction is, if we're put in a place where we have to make decisions for someone whom we love and we don't have any guidance from them, we're going to do the best that we can. But our decisions are probably going to be based more on what we would have done for ourselves rather than what they might have chosen, simply because we haven't talked about it and we haven't asked, and we're left to grasp at the straws.
Well, so we'll get on to the agenda of the questions, but here, I had to fill out one of these. You know, I have one anyway, but I had to fill out one because I had a knee replacement. And it says to you in there, how long do you want to remain in a coma before your, in this case would be my spouse, pulls the plug? So I'm going to ask everybody here, how long would you want to be in a coma before we pull the plug, Marissa?
Well, like, if there's no chance of, like, ever coming out of it.
Well, how do you know?
Yeah, you don't know. That's hard. I don't know. A year? A month?
I think I worry the most about being a burden on my loved ones.
Yeah.
And
so a day?
I'm sure that based upon the historical medical records, there are certain averages that exist out there. And so I would trust several medical professionals, if several medical professionals believe that there was not a chance of me coming out, I'd want that decision to be made.
So, Paul, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. I think it's a hard question to ask, a hard question to answer. We don't ask that in Five Wishes.
Oh, you don't?
I know. I think that it would be hard to answer and to put a number on it. Our approach is that we let you think about who you trust in your life to make those decisions, to appoint that person, to name them as your healthcare agent, and then give some instructions to them about, you know, if I'm in this situation, if I am in a coma, then here's what I'd want you to do. Either I prefer to have life support treatment, I don't want it at all, or I want it if I think it could help, or if my doctor thinks it could help, but I want you to stop it if it's not helping my condition or symptoms. Now, what we hope will happen is when you sit down with your family and you talk about this, you'll have a conversation about it. So that just as we're talking about it on the show here, you might say, well, you know, if it's such and such amount of time, you know, that's my thinking of what a long time is. But you need to get into the specifics on the conversation. I think it would be hard to put a number down on a piece of paper.
How did you get into this?
Well, you know, I had my own personal experiences growing up, watching my grandparents, the many ways that they unfortunately did not age with dignity. I had two grandparents that spent many of their last years in nursing homes, and sorry to say, didn't get the best of care there. But, you know, I remember very distinctly one moment in my life when I was 8 years old. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and the telephone rang at my house. It was a nurse from the hospital calling for my mother. And the nurse on the other end of the phone told my mother that her father, my grandfather, was not doing well, and that she needed to think about what she would want the hospital to do if my grandfather's heart stopped. Would he want to receive life support treatment or not? And the nurse said, we know that this is an important thing to think about, so go ahead and take some time, but if you could please call us back in 10 minutes, we'd appreciate it. And what to do?
Wow.
And I saw my mom, I remember peeking around the corner of the bedroom and looking in and seeing her on the edge of the bed that night in tears, thinking, what in the world do I do? Do I call my brother and try to build family consensus, or do I just make this decision on my own and hope everybody's not mad at me tomorrow morning? And, oh yeah, what would my dad want, because we never talked about this? It was an awfully hard night.
Boy, it sounds that way.
And we learned from that experience, and we were able to have the conversations with my other grandparents, just because, you know, it's not going to make the situation perfect. When somebody in your family is sick, it's a hard situation. But it doesn't have to be so hard that it tears families apart.
We're going to have to tear this family apart right now, because we're going to have to take a break and go for a commercial here. And so you're listening to Third Age. We'll be right back.
Listen to Beauty Now, the intersection of cosmetic surgery, longevity, and biomedical innovation for confident decisions in preventative aging on personallifemedia.com.
Well, we're so glad you're back with us. Welcome back to the Third Age. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Peter Brill. I'm here with Marissa Scobasi, and we're talking to Paul Malley, who's the president of Aging with Dignity, which is an organization that helps people deal with death and dying and illness so that the families can communicate and understand what people's wishes are. Marissa, you had a question.
So how did Five Wishes come into existence, or what started it?
Well, the document was created by a man named Jim Tuohy, who founded our organization, Aging with Dignity. And Jim was legal counsel to Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So he worked with Mother Teresa for about 12 years and lived in some of her homes for the dying in Washington and in Calcutta. And he saw there in that experience that dying is much more than just a medical moment. And he related that to the way that we care for people here in the United States so often. When medicine and medical issues obviously are very important, we want to make sure we get the best medical care possible. But so often we forget the personal elements. Earlier in your show, you were talking about what really matters to people in the third age when they start thinking about the purpose in their life and the meaning. And so often we're turned to our relationships. It's the relationships that matter. So in Five Wishes, we wanted to include more than just the medical issues about questions of life support treatment or who makes medical decisions on your behalf. We wanted to talk about family relationships. And if you are sick and near the end of life, what kind of environment would be comfortable to you and what things would honor your human dignity? So it can be very serious. You're talking about life and death matters here. You're talking about personal relationships, but it can also be kind of interesting too, because there are some questions in Five Wishes that give you the chance to say that you'd like to have people with you when possible. And I know a lot of people write in the margins there a list of people who they'd like to be by their side if they're sick. And sometimes there's a second list of people who they don't want there. And that makes for some interesting family conversations. But you know, it's all about creating an environment that makes you feel comfortable, that lets your loved ones know, hey, if my mom or dad is sick, here's what they asked for, and here's what I can do to honor their wishes.
You know, I just want to take off your website what you say, the five wishes, let your family doctor know, and then it lists five things. Maybe you'd rather say them, or should I just read them?
Either way.
Go ahead, if you know them by heart.
Sure, I do. I've talked about them a few times. The first wish is similar to what some people might know of as the durable power of attorney for healthcare or healthcare agent. Those are the legal terms for it. We kind of translate that and put it in regular language, and we call wish one the person who I want to make healthcare decisions for me when I can't make them for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing here is you're picking someone in your life. It may be a spouse, it may be an adult child, it may be a close friend. And you're saying, I trust this person to make my healthcare decisions if, for whatever reason, I can't make my own medical decisions. That could be that you're very sick. It could be that you were in a car accident and just temporarily you're not able to make medical decisions. But you're naming that person, and the important thing is that you tell them that you've chosen them to be your healthcare agent and tell them a little bit about what's important to you and how you want them to make medical decisions if they're put in that position where they have to make decisions for you. But there's an option in Five Wishes where you can name a second choice and a third choice and a whole list of things that healthcare agent can do.
I want a committee of 100, I think.
A committee of 100, good luck.
I'm signing up people, by the way.
Your 100 closest friends, right?
There you go. What's the next one?
The next one is the kind of medical treatment I want or don't want. Uh-huh. And this is similar to what people probably know of as the living will, because it asks you in these certain situations, if you're near the end of life, if you're in a coma, if you have persistent brain damage, what are your thoughts about life support treatment? When would you want it? When would you not want it? And there are blank lines there so you can customize this message and say, here's what I mean when I say life support treatment, and here's what I want you to know when you make decisions on my behalf.
Okay.
Then the third, fourth, and fifth wishes are all some of the things that really set this document apart, because these get into the personal care preferences. Wish three, my wish for how comfortable I want to be. This addresses the issue of pain management that we talked about earlier. I wish to have my favorite music played when possible. And I had one person, a nurse who is in Maryland, she said when she filled this out with her husband, he said that he wanted Inagata DeVita played. And she said, you know, that was a surprise, but if that's what he wants, then so be it, and I'll do it. But, you know, little things like that, that when people first think about it, seem kind of corny or goofy. But you know what? When people come back to us and tell us stories about caring for a loved one who had filled out five wishes, it's those little things that people talk about.
Have you got a story, just an instant before we finish the last two, a story about where this went well, where this was used well?
Sure. There are lots of them. One that stands out came from a woman in Massachusetts who told me that her husband had filled out five wishes. He was in his 60s, healthy. No reason to think anything was going wrong. Since 6 months later, he had a massive stroke, and he was in a hospital for the last 28 days of his life. And she said what they did was they kept five wishes on his bedstand in the hospital so that whenever a doctor or nurse came in, she said, I don't care if they looked at that document for 30 seconds. If they glanced at it, they knew my husband better than when they first walked in the door.
Absolutely.
And he had written things in there like he wanted to have pictures of his grandchildren with him. And she said before the nurses looked at Five Wishes, they'd see the pictures of his grandkids on the nightstand and take them down so they could put the medical equipment there. But she said after they looked at Five Wishes and they saw that he asked for these pictures of his grandkids to be there, they didn't take it down anymore.
You know, the other thing I've found being a physician in a hospital is to the extent that you can keep yourself as a human being to the people treating you, they treat you differently.
Exactly. Yep.
So it makes a big difference. Okay, what's the last two?
Last two, wish number four is my wish for how I want people to treat me. This lets you say I want to have people with me. I want to have people praying for me. You know, sometimes people say, yes, I want people praying for me. Tell my church, my congregation that I'm sick, that I want prayers. Other people say, I don't want anybody knowing my business. Don't tell anybody about it. I don't want people praying for me. It's a personal question, and this is a place where you can say that and express matters of the heart that would let you tell people what makes you feel comfortable and how you want them to treat you. And wish five goes even further into the matters of the heart, letting you tell your family, your loved ones, what you want them to know. Like, I want my friends and my family to know that I love them, that I forgive them, and I wish to be forgiven for the times that I may have hurt them. How I want to be remembered. These types of little things that you could write a sentence for, you could write pages and attach them to this document.
Can I just disagree with you on one point? These are not little points. I've treated so many people, and I've talked to so many people, and I've had groups with so many people, where at the end of life, there was never the statement of forgiveness between parent and child. We're actually finding in adult children of, with the parents and children in this stage, about 70% are isolated or alienated from one or more of their adult children.
That's true.
And the other thing I found that I really strongly urge people to think about is, what do you want your children to know about you? Mm-hmm. People don't take the time to write their lives down, to transmit what their experience of life and what their values are to other people. That's a wonderful question.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, that makes me think of this example of a woman who said that her husband, when he filled out Wish 5, had put a big asterisk next to the point that says, I wish for my family to make peace with each other if that's possible before I die. And she said, it didn't happen before my husband died, but that same day my sons, who had not spoken in 5 years, spoke and mended their broken relationship because it was their father's expressed wish.
That is so wonderful. I mean, you know, we have a lawyer that we talked to who tells a story about when the second parent dies, 3/4 of the families are in some kind of basic, huge struggle over the estate, which is all the leftover feelings that never got resolved in these families.
It's true.
It's really very, very sad.
And many siblings that don't speak to one another after the parent has died because they had a big fight about what the parent would have wanted,
absolutely,
whether it's medical care or estate or otherwise.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to go to commercial break, and you're listening to Paul O'Malley on the Third Age Radio Show. We'll be back.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living at personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to The Third Age. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Peter Brill. I'm here with Marissa Cavassi and Paul Malley, who is president of Aging with Dignity. Paul, welcome back. How do people take advantage of your organization's services, and what can they do to help you? Paul, you couldn't talk, could you? They had the button. It silenced you, finally.
Yeah, they take me off mute.
So. No, it was one of your five wishes, I'm sure.
Yeah, there you go. Let me speak.
Yeah, let me speak, right. How do people take advantage of it, and how do they help your organization?
Well, a lot of times we hear from individuals and families that contact us because they've heard about Five Wishes, and they say, this is something that would be helpful to me and my family. The documents are available for just a small charge. They're $5 each, and we have some DVDs that go along with it for people that are interested in getting more information. We actually have a new resources that we are offering this year, and they're new translations. The Five Wishes document is now translated in 20 different languages, and we did that with help from a grant from the United Health Foundation. So, and those are available for free. And there are languages from Spanish, of course, Chinese, Japanese, Hindi, Arabic, Hmong, on down the list. So we're happy to be able to provide those documents to people who speak different languages, who probably didn't have a document that help them make these decisions in their terms.
And so how do they get them from you?
Well, they can either call our office, and there's a national toll-free number. It's 1-888-5-WISHES, 594-7437.
Let's do that again. 1-888.
1-888-594-7437.
Or do you have a website they can?
Yeah, the website is agingwithdignity.org. So that's agingwithdignity, all spelled out, .org. And you can order copies there, find out more about our organization and the other resources that are available.
Great. Marissa, you had a question.
Yeah. Well, with the different languages you have to translate, are there cultural differences that you have to present as you're communicating the five wishes, or are they basically the same?
Well, the questions are basic enough that it allows a person to express their own cultural preferences in the answer. So it might ask things like, and depending on the culture, there will be very different answers for who you would want to have in a room with you. So this document does a good job of asking the questions that allow you to communicate what's important to you culturally, spiritually, family relationship-wise, whatever the case may be.
Now,
so
if you're Hindu...
Same document in all languages.
If you're Hindu, do you get to choose what you want to come back to as next time?
I don't know. I haven't heard any comments about that one so far.
So we were having a whole discussion at the break here about how people... Do you want to come in, Jaron? We were talking how people wanted to deal with this period of life.
Well, I believe I have a lot of faith in my loved ones, and upon all of their judgment, and certainly I don't think it should be in any one person's responsibilities, although legally you have to create a document where one is in charge. Believe beyond a reasonable doubt that you're not going to be able to have the same quality of life, and I don't think they would let me suffer. So I don't think there's need for that. So drug me up.
Lisa, you wanted to have your chance at the...
Yeah, we were just talking about this during the break, and I would agree with Jaron too. I mean, if I was right towards my end, I would just rather be totally drugged up and ready to head on out and say my goodbyes to everybody.
I think I would want the same too, but comes to the question of the second wish of like the kind of medical treatment you want or don't want. And I have a question for you, Paul. What if it's an illegal kind of medical treatment, like assisted suicide? What happens there?
Well, that's the assisted suicide is obviously not an option in this document, because this document is a legally valid document in most states. And in all the states where it meets the legal requirements, five wishes, that is not a legal option. Our hope would be that if someone were thinking along those lines and thinking perhaps maybe they didn't want to be a burden to family, or they were afraid of dying in pain or dying a miserable death, that in talking through five wishes and looking at the document and expressing their preferences to their family and their doctor, they'd have some peace of mind to know that their wishes would be followed, not only medically, but just to know that they would be accompanied in this process. So often when someone says that they would like to look at the option of assisted suicide, they do so because they think that the only option is a miserable death alone and in pain. And we would hope that this conversation would let people know that there is an alternative, and a compassionate one, that they can be accompanied in that process.
Hmm. Very, very interesting. So have you written your five wishes?
I have, yes. my wife has as well, and we've talked about it with our parents, and my wife and I are actually getting ready. We have a baby coming in March, and this is our fourth. And we'll have the living will, the five wishes document with us when we go to the hospital, because you're supposed to take it with you every time you go to a hospital, and it will be in her medical chart.
Anything you want to share with us?
From my document?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think you had talked a little bit about relying on your family members and having faith in them to know that they would make the right decisions. And I found myself in a similar situation where I did want to make sure that my wife knew that obviously I wanted her to make decisions on my behalf, but I didn't want to leave her hanging without any kind of instruction from me.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have a good down-to-earth, heart-to-heart conversation about what I would want and what I would want her to know in making that decision. And I think that's important for families to have that conversation. Even if you think, yes, I trust my husband, my wife, whoever the case might be, it's important to not just leave it at that, but to give them some instruction about what you would want and how you would want them to go about making decisions.
Yeah, I really, you know, I'm going to be 65 on Medicare very soon here. And so my wife and I are spending more time, certainly, than we did 10 years ago, talking about what life would be like without one or the other of us. And there are many, many issues that that brings up and to talk through. You know, where, how do you handle the finances? How do you handle the children? What, you know, remarriage? I mean, it's just, I'm really amazed at how few people talk about what's really important in life.
Yeah. And it's hard. Sometimes it's hard just to get over the hump
it
of
sure
starting
is.
The conversation.
It sure mm-hmm. is. But it's very, very important. This is our life together, and we certainly want to do it. Let's give the number one more time for how do people access you. And I assume you take your nonprofit, you take contributions.
We do, and we're certainly grateful for that. The small amount of income from the Five Wishes does help us, and we're grateful for the individual support as well for Five Wishes and our other programs.
So how do they reach you?
The national toll-free number is 1-888-5-WISHES, 1-888-594-7437, and the website is agingwithdignity.org.
Well, you have any last words you'd like to say? We have about a minute.
Well, I think for those who are listening to this program and maybe thinking, yes, this sounds like a good thing to do, I'll do it someday, I would just encourage you to take the action right now, whether it's calling us or talking to your doctor or local hospital or hospice about it. Put something down in writing. It's far better to do it right now than in the middle of a health crisis.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Paul O'Malley.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back. Come join us again. This is Marissa Scobasi from Third Age Radio Show with Dr. Peter Brill.
Hi, this is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. Find me on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, how to think like a thin person on personallifemedia.com.
Well, welcome back. This is the Third Age. I'm your co-host, Dr. Peter Brill. We have Marissa Scobasi, who's sitting in for David Debbin today. We've had a very heavy show today, and we have one more heavy little statement that Lisa, who's running our board today, wants to share with you.
We were just discussing about death, and just recently, my brother-in-law passed away last year, and he was just 62 years old. He came back from Europe with a stomach ache, and it turned out to be stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and it metastasized all the major organs. Well, we would fly back and forth to Houston to be with him, but during those last few months, he had wrapped everything up. He did have time to say his goodbyes, do his paperwork, and make his wish list, but he wanted to go and to wake up every morning and not know, was it the day, was it the time, was it the minute, and to have his family continually come in and get these phone calls in the middle of the night was very difficult. And for me, personally, I would like the choice, if I ever came to that, for assisted suicide. I would not want to just wait it out and wait it out and all that pain and agony. So, anyways, that's what we were talking about during the break.
Yeah. Marissa, what do you...
That's a really hard decision, but to, like, face the deadline, but never knowing when you're going to go or not. I think I would probably want to go along the lines or at least be surrounded by family and friends as I'm suffering, although it's hard when you are physically suffering and you can't really do anything about it or control like your emotions or pain at that time. But I'd probably have a deadline, or at least, I guess it also depends on how religious I become later in life, because that also plays a factor, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a very tough topic we were dealing with this period. We wanted to include it for two reasons. First of all, we wanted to make sure that those of you in the Third Age listen to the advice of Paul O'Malley. If you haven't discussed these issues, if you haven't prepared things in writing, you certainly need to. But also, I think that illness and death are a great reminder if we can face them squarely and we can face the truth that they'll come when they come in our lives, that we want to make this time of our life the absolute best that we can possibly make it.
Like the movie that's coming out on the bucket list.
Yeah, what was it? What's this?
The Bucket List, I think, is with Jack Nicholson and I forget the other person, but they basically know they have a limited amount of life and they're basically just trying to live out all the wishes that they've never done in their previous, they've never done before, and they want to make the best of the end of their life.
All right, do you want to have a little thing here, guys? The wish, our one wish, if this is it.
Ooh, one wish. My wish would be that I would be surrounded by all my family, for sure, and even my dog.
No, but the wish, I mean, the undone thing.
Wow. Oh, okay, that wish? Oh, I would love to probably go back to Rio de Janeiro and just lie on the beach and sip a wonderful exotic cocktail. I mean, that would be my one simple wish. Very simple.
Your wish is granted. We'll do that for
all
you.
All right.
I would travel wish, too. Okay. I just want to end up in Tuscany. You know what? Just end up there, become part of the soil, and, get or have your ashes scattered across the land there and become part of something so alive and rich again.
That's great. Marissa?
Maybe, since I'm scared of it, to go skydiving.
Skydiving, yeah. All right. My wish is I want to go to the moon.
That's a good
wish. If I could go to the moon, I would just, my father said to me once, he says, that's fine, you can go to the moon. He says, I'm just not coming to visit you.
That might be possible now, aren't they, like, thinking of ideas of having...
Yeah, they are, but I think getting into orbit is going to be the first thing that is going to be possible.
That's true.
I've always wanted to go into space. I would love it.
That would be awesome.
I want to also thank Marissa for putting together today's show and sitting in, Jaron Pilts, and Lisa. I'd like to thank you for your help today. And
thank you, Lisa Headley.
Headley. And we'll be back next time for another journey into the third age.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.